the water, and some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. I'm glad God leads His children, ain't you? Well, I went and heard Dr. Joe Author preach last night, and he's talking about you're going to make it. He said, you're going to make it. Amen. We're going to have some problems in between here and there, but we're going to make it. We're going to make it. We're going to get there. Amen. Amen. And all this trouble we go through down here is just going to make heaven that much sweeter. Some through the fire. I've been through the fire. Amen. Some through the flood. Some through the fire, but all through the blood. Thank you for singing that, Brother Jason. Amen. What a blessing it is to be here tonight. Appreciate all of you coming out. You know, we can worship God on Wednesday night. We can. I was in good meeting last night and good meeting Monday night. And, boy, we've had a good time in the Lord this week. Lord's been good to me. We want to pray tonight. We want to go to the Lord in prayer. And we've got a lot of special prayer requests. They buried Hazel Carswell's niece, Crystal, today, and about 2 o'clock they had her funeral. And we appreciate everyone that might have maybe made a phone call or whatever. And remember that family in prayer. They've taken it pretty hard. That girl's only 31 or 2 years old. Got killed in that real bad car wreck in Black Mountain. And then most of you know, Brother Ray, Big Ray's mother passed away Monday evening. And they just received friends for her a while ago, and they're going to have her funeral tomorrow. And so pray for that. That's Brother Jason's grandmother. And she was saved and loved the Lord. And she got saved at something we had at New Manor one time. And thank God for touching her heart. And it's good to see them in church tonight. And remember to pray for their family. How many of them are they in your family, Brother Ray? 8. And they all got kids. Big family. There's a gang of them up there a while ago. So let's remember their family. And then his sister's brother-in-law passed away this evening with a heart attack, Randy Grant. Some of y'all know Sandy Grant and Randy Grant, the twins, and Marion. And you know the Grant, the one that run the pawn shop. Randy Grant died with a heart attack just this evening. And so that family's really going through it, and we want to be much in prayer. Sandy Grant run the pawn shop down at the bottom of Main Street in Marion to go around that big curve. And that's his twin brother, Randy, who passed away. I've known them guys all my life. And so let's pray for their family. They're taking it real hard. So that's that'd be Brother Ray's sister's mother and brother-in-law died within 2 days. And so let's pray for them, that God will just bless them and help them, and His will be done. And then I want to pray for those that are sick. Still got a lot of folks sick. Christy was sick today, and she called me and asked us to pray for her. And a lot of other people. Remember Linda? She's going to the hospital Monday to have that surgery work done. And then, I'm going Friday. And I've been running around all week trying to get everything done. I'm trying to get everything ready so I won't have, you know, so much to do, you know, because I'm going to be laid up for several days. And so pray for me. I'm going in Friday morning. Amen. And Lord willing, if everything goes right, be home Saturday afternoon. And so I don't like it at all. I am not liking this. And so y'all pray for me. Then we'll get it over with. I want to go ahead and get it over with. I've been enjoying getting to run around like I have been. And I'll be back down, so pray about that. And we got a lot of things to pray about. If you've got something or somebody on your heart you'd like us to pray for tonight, just let it be known in an uplifted hand. God knows who it is. He knows where it is. Let's pray for our bus kids. Go to work. He's about dead. Wake him up. Come on, boys. Come on, Leaf. Here, don't be no sissy. Yens are all dressed up for church.
That's
good.
Get Corey.
Corey? They want Corey. Anna? Oh. Newt? Come on.
Corey.
Cousin Buzz, stay up here. All our regular good singers. All right. I'm giving you time to figure out one. All right. All right. Who else is going to sing?
Desi.
Huh? Desi. Miss Desi, I want you to sing a solo. I know. All right. This is going to be good. Got the video on?
Thank you, Lord, for your
blessing. All right.
Singing the word.
Well, it's good to be saved, ain't it? Amen. Ain't it good to be saved? The Lord's going to get us through, people. Y'all hang in there. Bibles open now. Come on, Brother Derek, help me tonight. We're going to do some deep digging tonight, so get your Bibles out. Keep them laying on your lap. Tonight, I'm glad we can come and shout and enjoy service, but I'm glad we can get into this thing and dig a little bit tonight. So tonight, I'm going to recap what we've been doing on Wednesday nights and finish this study up. Now, we haven't just barely scratched the surface, but it'll give you enough ammunition to know what you believe and why you believe it. By this time, everybody in here ought to be able to know several verses that you can check with any Bible to check it with your King James Bible. And I gave you those several times, so I hope that you got them. Now, basically what we've said, all you got to do is turn it off. Turn the box off. We've learned that there are two lines of Bibles, two basic lines of manuscripts, and your King James Bible come from what's called the Textus Receptus, and that means receive text. Turn around backwards, they'd say it backwards, receive text, Textus Receptus, and all the modern versions of the Bible come from the other Greek text, Vaticanus and Sinaiticus. If a preacher says the original Greek, then you know one thing for sure. He is either being dishonest or he hadn't done his homework. Yep. There is no such thing as the original Greek. There's several bunch of different Greek manuscripts, and they contradict each other. And if there is no book in the world, if there's no book in the world that's God's Word, then anybody's guess is as good as anybody else what God said. And that's what most preachers believe. Most preachers in this town, if they've been to college or Bible college, believe that all we have are translations of the Bible, and no Bible that we possess right now is the perfect, inspired, infallible Word of God. They believe that the NIV is a good translation. The RSV might be a good translation. The King James Version is a translation, but none of them's perfect. Now, if that's true, we're in trouble. Because that means the only Word of God is Greek, and then which Greek? If the King James is even superior to the Textus Receptus. You say, why do you say that? Because of the chapter and verse markings, and because of the italicized words that God used to put this thing together and write. And so tonight, I'm gonna wind this study up by saying a few things about it, and then we're going to show you the new King James. So keep your Bibles open. We're going to do some studying tonight. Now, the question is, do you have the Word of God? If all you've got is a translation that's right some places and wrong some places, how do you know where it's right and where it's wrong? You going to take somebody's word for it? You're either going to believe what man said about the Bible, or you're going to believe what the Bible said about man.
Yeah.
You're going to either believe that God wrote the Bible and then lost it, and then man copied it and copied it and copied it and copied it, and we got pretty good copies of what the original was supposed to try to say, or else you believe that God preserved it down through the years, and we still have it. That's what we believe. And if we're wrong, listen, I'd even if we is wrong, I'd rather face God and say, well, Lord, I believed it, and I was wrong, sorry for believing it, than have to say, well, Lord, I didn't believe it, and it be right. Amen? I'd hate to stand before God and say, well, Lord, I believe it had mistakes in it. And He said, there wasn't a mistake in it. I preserved it all the way through.
That's right.
And if we stand before God and say, well, Lord, I believed every word of it. I just believed You preserved it for me. And He said, well, sorry, I didn't. Then, you know, you ain't going to be as bad off as you would be the other way. And so tonight, let's think about this for a little bit. And I gave you several check verses. And I know some of you might be getting old to some of you, but I want to hammer it down. There's Acts 8:37. There's Luke 2:33. There's 1 Timothy 6:10. There's 1 John 5:7. There's all these verses like this. 1 Timothy 3:16. On and on and on. Daniel 3:25. 2 Kings 21:19. All these are verses that you can check any Bible and see if it comes from Textus Receptus. And your King James is the only one that did. Now they claim the New King James did. But I'm going to show you tonight the New King James has readings in it from Vaticanus and Sinaiticus, Westcott and Hort Greek text, or the same thing the RSV comes from. The New King James that Brother Derek has here tonight is the version they claim was translated from the Textus Receptus. But it has many readings from the RSV, the New ASV, in the text. And I'm going to show them to you tonight. The so-called changes in the 1611 were changes in spelling. Now, did you understand what I said? If you say, well, the King James changed some things, you know what they're going to tell you? They're going to say, well, the King James has been changed. How many of you ever heard that? Raise your hand.
Yeah.
They're going to say the King James was updated several times. But you've got to remember, when this thing was first put out, it was in the Old English. And it had an F in Psalms. It'd say Pfalms, like that. The 23rd Pfalm. That's what, like that. And all they did is change the spelling from that to Psalms. Didn't change the reading. Like music, the word music in Old English would be M-U-S-I-C-K. Well, when you change that to M-U-S-I-C, you hadn't changed the Scripture. You've changed the spelling of a word, but it still says music.
Right.
And when they say, well, the King James Bible's been changed, no, it happened.
Nope.
And only the spelling of the words. They say, well, which edition of the King James? Did you know your King James has been updated? They know it has not. They changed the spelling to make the English of that time, of 1600. And the New King James has changed in the words, in the text. Let's start out in the book of Job. Some of these you might think are insignificant, but I just want to show you just example. There's hundreds of them. But let's go through the book of Job. We're going to do some in Proverbs, and then we're going to come through to the New Testament. Now, you got to follow me along fast with these, because I'm going to say them, he's going to read them, and then we're going to move on. Job chapter 1, verse 1. Job chapter 1, verse 1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, one that feared God
and eschewed evil. Now we know the word perfect there does not mean sinless. Right? Don't mean sinless. Job, everybody's a sinner, but it means his heart was perfect to God. He was living right. He was serving God. There was nothing you could put your finger on in his life. Read that verse, Brother Derek. Verse 1.
There was a man...
Microphone.
There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was blameless and upright, and one who feared God and shunned evil.
So that's not a difference in spelling. That's a difference in wording. It says blameless instead of perfect. Job chapter 3. Look at this one. And Job chapter 3, look at verse number 8. Now this is good for you. Learn to turn in your Bible and look at these verses. Job chapter 3 and verse 8. Let them curse it that curse the day who are ready to raise up their mourning. That word mourning is like crying. Raise up their mourning. All right, read it.
May those curse it who curse the day, those who are ready to arouse Leviathan.
Ready to raise Leviathan. Leviathan's the devil. You ever heard anybody say we're going to raise the devil? There it says it right there in the New King James. And your King James don't say nothing about Leviathan in that verse. That's the version they claim is the same as the King James except for these and the thous. Ain't that something? We'll raise Leviathan. All right? Job 26. Let's move on over in the book of Job to chapter 26. There's a major difference between mourning and raising Leviathan.
Yes, sir.
Job chapter 26. Look at verse 13. Job 26:13. By his spirit he hath garnished his heavens. His hand hath formed the crooked serpent. There's another picture of the devil. All right, what was yours say?
By his spirit he adorned the heavens. His hand pierced the fleeing serpent.
Ours says he formed the crooked serpent. That one said he pierced the crooked serpent. Does it say crooked?
Fleeing
serpent. So, is there a difference between formed and pierced? Absolutely. Absolutely. That's two completely different concepts. That's two completely different thoughts that they're running. One of them said he pierced him. The other one said he formed him. That's completely different reading. Job chapter 30. Look at Job chapter 30 and verse number 29. All these just in Job. I am a brother to dragons and a companion to owls. Now the Bible talks a lot about dragons. The Bible even talks about Satan being a big red dragon with seven heads over in the book of Revelation. All these fire-breathing dragons, you know, that stuff ain't all just mythology. They're really stuff like that. All right, look what it says in that one. Read it.
I am a brother of jackals and a companion of ostriches.
A brother of jackals and a companion of ostriches. Quite a bit different reading, amen? Quite a bit different reading. All right, Proverbs chapter 1. Move right on over into Proverbs. To your right there, you're going to pass Psalms, and then you're going to go right into Proverbs. Follow along with me now. Don't be lazy. Work. Study. Show yourself approved. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Proverbs chapter number 1. The great book on wisdom. Proverbs chapter 1. Look at verse 6. To understand the proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. Go ahead.
To understand a proverb and an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles.
An enigma. I don't know. The words of the wise and their riddles. Instead of dark sayings, it's riddles. That's not in the King James Bible. That's not that one I gave you about up in Job a while ago, those are from the RSV. So that means it comes from Vaticanus and Sinaiticus, the same Greek text the other modern versions come from. Look at Proverbs chapter 1, verse 32. Verse 32, you've heard me preach on this. Excuse me. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. What's going to destroy these people? Prosperity of fools. Nothing wrong with prosperity unless you're a fool. A man can prosper and be smart, and it won't hurt him. But a fool can't handle prosperity.
That's
right. Because it'll destroy him. He gets a big head and gets on drugs and gets into all kind of crazy things. Can't handle it. Prosperity fools will destroy them, okay?
For the turning away of the simple will slay them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them.
Complacency of fools. There's quite a bit of difference between complacency and prosperity.
Sure.
Complacency is what? Just kind of sitting back and not caring, get complacent. That's quite a bit different. If a man's out here and he's making $1,000 an hour, and he was buying new cars and boats, would you say he's complacent? No, you'd say he's prospering. Prosperity, he's prospering. You wouldn't say he's complacent. Is it complacency of fools? Why would they change a verse that talked about prosperity? Because somebody likes to prosper.
That's right.
They don't want nothing. They don't want prosperity looking bad.
That's good for you.
Amen. That's right. Now that's in the wrong. That's the wrong version, brother. That's the wrong version. That's interesting. Chapter 12. All right, look at Proverbs chapter 12. This is talking about a man finding a wife. Chapter 12. Proverbs chapter 12. Got quiet in here. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 4. You said, I want to see what it says. A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband. I won't preach on this pretty soon. But she that maketh ashamed is rottenness in his bones. That's two kinds of wives right there. Are you a crown to your husband, or are you rottenness in his bones?
Preach it.
You're one of them too.
Come on now.
All right, what does it say?
An excellent wife is the crown of her husband, but she who causes shame is like rottenness in his bones.
What does ours say? A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband. She that maketh ashamed is rottenness in his bones. That's a different reading. All right, now let's go to the New Testament. This is one I've given you in several studies. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Verse 10. All these old preachers for years and years and years have preached the love of money is the root of all evil. I've preached it ever since I've been preaching. Preachers have preached it for hundreds of years. The love of money is the root of all evil. It did not say sin. It said the root of all evil. Every bit of evil you can find out here today, what causes prostitution? Money. What causes drugs? Money. Alcohol, money. Money's at the bottom of every bit of it. The reason drugs are brought into this country is for money, brother. The reason there's crooks on Wall Street and crooked business deals and stuff. You know why thieves go to prison? Wanting something. Wanting money. Wanting money. All right? What does that one say? 1 Timothy 6:10.
For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil.
That is not the King James reading. That's the New Modern Version's reading. All right, stay in 1 Timothy and look at verse 20. Chapter 6, verse 20. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. Avoid in profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science, falsely so called. We are warned against false science. That's a clear warning against evolution, against New Age science, against global warming, cooling, tree-hugging, Earth's your mother, Mother Earth, Mother Nature. That's a clear warning against science that's false. What was that one say?
Old Timothy, guard what was committed to your trust, avoiding the profane and idle babblings and contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge.
Leaves out the word science for some reason. Could it be they respect science too much? They say, my goodness, we can't say nothing bad about science. That's the attitude they have. That's not a King James reading. The King James says science. That ain't got nothing to do with the these and the thous. Let's go on a little further. Acts chapter 7. Go back to your left there a little bit. And we'll look at Acts chapter number 7. We're going to work here a few more minutes now, and then I'm going to make some remarks before we go. Acts chapter 7. And look at Acts chapter 7, verse 27. When he's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Wait a minute, I'm wrong here. Acts chapter 7. No, I'm wrong. I'm looking more about the child, his holy child. I got it wrote down wrong. Is it 7:30? Nope. About the child servant instead of a child. Talking about the child Jesus. Maybe it's 8:27. I might have it just wrote down. Somebody gets it there in a minute, give it to me.
What about Acts 8:37?
Nope. No, it's not 30. You mean 737?
Yeah.
737. Yeah, let's try that one. No, that's not it. Talks about Jesus being a child.
About
18? No. Let's go on. Somebody can look for that one. Let's go on to the next one. Acts 4:27. I'm sorry. Instead of 7:27. That sounds right. Acts 4:27. Yeah, that's it. Look at that one. For of a truth against thy holy child Jesus. Sorry, I had that wrote down wrong. A truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, Herod and Pontius Pilate, all them were gathered together. What does that say?
For truly against your holy servant Jesus.
Change that child to servant. Now the Lord was a servant, but you shouldn't take out the fact that he was a child. That's not a King James reading. That's not these and thous making it easier to understand. That's changing it from a child to servant. Now let's go to chapter number 17. Everybody looking? Turn your Bibles, kids. Learn how to do this. This is good for you. 17:22. Acts 17:22. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, "Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious." Go ahead.
Then Paul stood in the midst of the Areopagus and said, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious."
Good question.
So he says, "You're too superstitious." And the other guy says, the other one says, "You're too religious." That's a little bit different, I would think.
Yeah.
That's not the same reading, just easy to understand. Man can be superstitious and not be religious. There's a lot of people that believe that black cats and walking under ladders and stuff like that, Friday 13th, and of course I believe in all that. I do. I believe there's something to it. But that's not religious. I'm not really a religious person. I'm saved, but I'm not really religious. I love the Lord, and I believe I got salvation. But that one says you're too religious. Is that what it says? You're too religious.
Very religious.
That's quite a different concept, saying somebody's very religious and saying they're superstitious. Because you can be superstitious without being religious at all. There's a lot of people, they ain't even say, don't even claim to know God, that's real superstitious. You know, I know people say, "Oh, you know, I can't do this because the stars are lined up wrong, and you know, I was born on a certain day, so I can't eat this food on this day." And that's crazy. Reading them Chinese fortune cookies, that's ridiculous. You know they're all going to tell you something good's going to happen to you, and you're special and wonderful. I mean, that's a bunch of junk. They don't ever tell you nothing bad. They all say you will break your neck tomorrow, you know, or something like that. But anyway, they ain't going to do it. All right? Let's go to another one. Galatians chapter 5. Turning your right over to your right there to Galatians chapter 5. Romans, Corinthians, Galatians chapter 5. Here we go now. Galatians chapter 5, verse 4. Christ is become of no effect unto you, whosoever you are justified by the law. You are fallen from grace. Now, what that verse means, that verse don't mean what the Free Will Baptists say it means.
Right.
When a free will reads that verse, he says fallen from grace means you used to be saved and you're not saved no more. That verse, it don't even imply that. It said if a man's trying to get justified by the law,
he's
fallen away from grace.
Yeah.
That's what it says. It don't say if a Christian sins, they ain't in God's grace no more. It says if a man is trying to get to heaven by doing the works of the law, he's fallen away from grace. Okay, go ahead.
You have become estranged from Christ. You who attempted to be justified by law, you have fallen from grace.
Estranged from Christ. Is that what it says?
Yeah.
Huh. Estranged from Christ. Estranged means separated, don't it?
Yep. Yes.
Like you hear somebody, their estranged husband, you know, that's what they say on the news. Don't that mean they ain't not together no more? You're separated from Christ. That don't mean, that's not mean that at all. 2 Timothy 2:15. 2 Timothy 2:15. And this is the only time in your Bible you are commanded to study. The only time. And I'll be if it don't change it. Study to show thyself approved unto God. That's what we're doing tonight. We're having a Bible study. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Go ahead.
Be diligent to present yourself approved to God.
That's all?
Well, no, the rest of it's the same. A worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth.
Be diligent to do what? Present.
To present yourself approved to God.
It don't say study. Why would a version change that word study? Be diligent to show yourself approved to God is quite a bit different than saying study your Bible. Everybody ought to be diligent to be right with God, but study your Bible is quite a different, that's a whole different thought that he's trying to get across here. All right? Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20. These are just little things. The Bible said a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Matthew chapter 20. And look at verse 20. Matthew 20, 20. This is easy to remember. Then came to him a mother of Zebedee's children with her sons. See that? Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him. All right, go ahead.
Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to him with her sons, kneeling down and asking something from him.
It left out worshiping him. That's not a King James Bible. It's not a King James Bible. And worshiping ain't in italics either. They worship the Lord. They come to the Lord worshiping him. And the new King James left it out. So it ain't a King James Bible at all. It's a new version. Amen? That's right, brother. Now, James 5:16. Everybody look at this. We only got one more after this. James 5:16. Don't get weary in well-doing here. Stay with me. Look at James 5 and verse 16. Now, here's what your King James Bible says that we're supposed to do. When you want God to heal you, when you want God to help you, it says this. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. Confess your faults one to another. We're supposed to get together and say, look, man, I've let the church down and I'm sorry and I'm lazy and, you know, I've failed in many ways and I want everybody to help. Pray for me. All right, what does that say?
Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed.
That's a big difference. Big difference confessing your trespasses and confessing your faults. That's why the Catholic Bible talks about you. We're not supposed to confess our sins to nobody. We don't have to confess our sins to nobody. We don't confess. You don't have to confess your sins to me. I don't have to confess my sins to you. But if we're all together in a prayer meeting, we're to confess our faults. You know, a lot of times I don't have a burden like I should. A lot of times I don't pray like I should. But you got to watch this crowd. I'm a little bit leery of people who say we're all supposed to get together and confess our sins to each other. You don't want to do that. Lord, just don't do that. Nobody have no confidence in nobody. Hold on just a second. Why don't
we,
what does it say? Effectual fervent prayer of righteous man availeth much.
The effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much.
All right. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 2. And this one has to do with the Word of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 17. Isn't it weird that all these verses that have to do with the Word of God, your King James said, we are not as many which corrupt the Word of God. So there's somebody corrupting the Word of God and messing with it, cutting out verses, taking verses out of it. All right, go ahead.
For we are not as so many peddling the Word of God.
Peddling the Word of God. Peddling would mean going like a flea market and selling it. There's a big difference between corrupting and peddling. Yeah, they told on herself right there. They corrupt because they say, oh my goodness, we can't say corrupting it because we're corrupting it. You know, so let's just put peddling it. That's not a King James reading. That is not the King James Bible. They make you think it's a King James Bible and count on you not reading it and studying it and pawn it off on you. They count on you not studying it. Well, the Scofield Note gets his from Vaticanus and sent his other line of Bible. Yeah. Scofield's notes goes by the other line of Bibles. But now, Scofield's scripture is right. But that new Scofield puts it in the Scripture. If anybody's got a new Scofield Bible, the old Scofield Bible has the King James text, but then in your notes it says it's wrong. In the new Scofield, it puts it actually right in the text. I've had a lot of people come with the new King James Bible and say, you like this? We say, oh my goodness, that's right. And they spent $60 or $70 on it. Doesn't have their name put on it and can't take it back. And they think it's King James. And it ain't. All righty. Now, I'm going to make 5 points here real quick and we're going to be through. Why the new King James Bible is not acceptable for use in churches. Number one. Close that door, would you, brother? Why the King James Bible is not acceptable in churches. Reason number one. The these and the thous being changed is hypocrisy. This is so your Bible won't match your hymn book. The trick is to get Christians to speaking in a language that's different from the songs of praise to God. For 300 years in this country, we've sung, Nearer My God to Thee. That's King James language. We sung, How Great Thou Art. These are old songs of the faith. These are not songs that's going to fade out in these new songs. Listen, brother, if the Lord don't come in 100 years, if they still, they'll still be singing How Great Thou Art. And they won't be singing Pop, Pop, Pop and Bodeo-Do and Sing Your Troubles Away. We're bound together and all that we do by the Holy Spirit and Elmer's glue. That's a contemporary song. Really? They ain't going to be singing that junk. That stuff comes up. Listen, brother, that stuff's going to fade out. But How Great Thou Art? Can you imagine somebody saying, well, we use the modern version in our Bible because we don't understand, kids can't understand the, and then get up in church and saying, How Great Thou Art. If there wasn't a hypocrite, they'd sing, How Great You Are, How Great You Are. Because nobody can't understand Thou Art. My goodness, we got more education than we've ever had. And our grandmas and grandpas never even went to high school. And they could sing How Great. They wrote songs. They wrote them songs. Okay? All right. Number two, the next reason why New King James is not acceptable in churches is because it forces the prophets to be poetic instead of literal. If you look in the New King James, the prophets are like, it's almost like it's poems. Like you can't take it literal. Like in Isaiah and stuff, it don't write it literal like it's, oh, it's just, you know, all figurative and stuff like that. And no King James has the prophets like that. In the King James, the prophets are literal. You're to take those Old Testament prophecies literal, not just pretty and poetic. Number three, the next reason New King James is not acceptable for churches is that every verse dealing with people using the Word of God to make money has been changed. 1 Timothy 6, 5, 10, 20, Romans 1, 18, Romans 1, 25, Romans 16, 18, and 2 Corinthians 2, 17 that we studied just a minute ago. Every verse that talks about somebody messing with the Word of God has been changed in that New King James. Number four, the next reason why the New King James is not acceptable for our churches is how it confuses, listen to me, youth groups and those involved in memory work with memorizing the Scripture.
Amen.
Everybody's Bible ought to say the same thing.
That's right.
Because kids are supposed to memorize it and hide it in their heart. They might not sin against God and memorize Scripture. Let me give you something the Lord gave me one time. This has been years ago. And I believe the Lord let me hear it. I've studied and preached on this stuff. And I was in a restaurant up near Virginia. And there had been a big camp meeting. And everybody went out to eat after the meeting. And a bunch of people sitting around the restaurant. And there's a bunch of people sitting over here beside them. They were fine Christian people. You could tell the way they was all dressed. You know, you can just tell. I mean, they had the standard, independent, fundamental Baptist look. On, you know, the guys had real short hair and ties. The women were all ugly. And you know, they just, you know what I mean. I'm just kidding. I'm really joking there. But you know what I mean? They think the more homely you look, the more godly you are. Some of them. And that ain't necessarily true. You don't want to look like a hussy, but I mean, you know, there ain't nothing wrong with combing your hair and looking decent and nice.
Right.
And, you know, you don't have to be just a slob to be godly. But anyway, they were all over here having a conversation. And I heard them over there, and one of them said, well, I'll tell you one thing. I just didn't think it was right. And I went and talked to the judge. And the judge said that my kid, their kids going to a Christian school, had a memory contest. And they're supposed to memorize all these verses of Scripture. Well, the kid got up there and quoted the Scripture, and the judge said, wrong, you missed a word. You missed two words. And the kid said, no, I didn't either. They said, yes, you did too. Well, come to find out, he was quoting it right, but he's memorized out of the other version. He was quoting it right, but out of the New King James with the other version, the judge was going by one or the other, but he memorized out of the other. Now, the kid quoted it right from his Bible, but the judge said, you're wrong. Really, he was right according to his Bible. So, can't you see where that's headed?
I mean, that's right.
Is it corrupt or is it petal? Is it Leviathan or is it a crooked serpent? Or is it a root of all kinds of evil? Is that, when we memorize it, which one are we going to memorize? And I'm going to tell you something. I heard them people argue about that, and boy, it just hit me like a bomb. Said, there's why we only need one Bible, people. You look like they could figure it out. Listen, when they played that Super Bowl the other night, they didn't have, all them referees didn't have, well, my version of the rule says this, and my version of the rule, they all go by the same rules. Everybody goes by the same rules. That's the only way you can keep down confusion. It's going to be mass confusion. Now, you know what we're accused of? One of our ladies brought it to me on the internet the other day. We're accused of King James onlyism. We're causing division in the churches. We ain't causing division. Those new versions are what's causing the division. If everybody's Bible said the same thing, it wouldn't be no division. In baseball, they have one book. You have one book to go by. Man says, man, don't touch first base. He's out. Or if another man says, well, if you come within 3 inches, you're out. Is it a crooked serpent or is it Leviathan? Is it corrupt or is it petal? See, well, man, everybody's book, everybody, professional baseball, they all go by the same book. You'd think Christians would have that much sin. We all ought to go by the same book. And when we memorize it, we memorize that book. When we preach it, we preach that book. When we go to the funeral home, we read that book. When we get married, we read that book. When somebody's in the hospital, we read that book. When we preach, we read that book. I'm going to read the same book here that our Sunday school teachers are going to be reading back here. We all say the same thing. Amen? That's why the New King James is not acceptable. And then the last one, and I'm saying this and I'm through. The Bible's language should be noble and lofty and not reduced to 20th century slang. It should have some words in there that's a little bit above our normal speaking. That's why somebody said, well, I want my Bible to read like a newspaper. I don't. I want mine to read like a Bible. I want to read like the Word of God. The Word of God ought to have some language up there. Listen, brother. If this thing keeps going like it's going, they've even been talked about it. They're writing versions where God is not male, where God is not referred to in the male gender. They're writing versions that leaves out tons of Scripture. Where's it going to end? Yeah, I'm not writing me a version. See, you can't do that. Everybody's Bible. And you know how you know which one's right? Jesus said, by their fruit, you'll know them. And they've been more... There's never been a revival in America produced by preaching one of them right there.
That's right.
Not one. Never been a great revival. Billy Graham, one of the greatest preachers that's ever lived, even though he recommends these new modern versions of the Bible, when he preaches, you listen to him. He quotes the King James.
He
quotes the King James over and over and over. And all these preachers, even though they went to schools that taught them wrong, when they really preach, they're quoting King James. The King James lends itself to memory. It lends itself to memory. The way it's written, it's easy to memorize. And that's why the New King James is not acceptable. Okay? All right, I'm done. Stop the tape there. Has anybody got a question? I delivered my soul on that. Go ahead. That's right. So here's what you need to do, people. We're not fundamentalists. I mean, we are fundamentalists, but we're Bible-believing fundamentalists.
That's right.
Catholics believe the fundamentals. The Catholic Church believes death, burial, and resurrection, the deity of Christ, the blood atonement. We're not... that's why we don't refer to ourselves as fundamentalists. Oh, we are fundamentalists. We're Bible believers.
Amen.
There's a difference. We believe the Bible. And we base our philosophy and doctrine and our lives on the Bible.
That's right.
Now, everybody either does that or they base it on their own thinking.
That's right.
People say, well, you're just confining yourself to one book and you're so narrow, you're leaving out all... Well, if you don't do that, you're basing yourself on Plato and Aristotle and all the Greek philosophers and all that. You're just taking their word. I'd rather take Paul, John, Peter, James, and Moses and than Plato, Aristotle, Socrates, and all them. Yeah, you can choose which one you want to. Everybody believes in one of them two philosophies. Go ahead. All right. That's good.
The center of the Bible.
Amen. And that's a smack dab middle. That's the middle of a King James Bible, Psalm 118, verse 8. And the two middle words of the King James Bible is the Lord. That don't work in them other versions. That don't work in none of them. You say, oh, that's just coincidence. Well, whatever. You run out of your bank account after a while. There's too many coincidences. Brother? Yeah, that's right. Taking two and adding from. You don't want to mess with it. You don't want to mess with it. That doesn't come up. I wouldn't mess with it. Hey, you'll never... If you ever hear me get up here and say that word ain't supposed to be in the Bible, you know they give me too much dope at the hospital. I'm telling you. If I get up here and say that, you'll say, Brother Danny is on something. He's cracked up. And you give me a day or two to get in my right mind, and I'll get it straight.
Praise the Lord.
If I say that and mean it, kick me out.
Amen.
Amen.
There's a lady the other day who was quoting a verse. She said, I read this verse the other day, and it was such a blessing. And she said, she read this right here. She said, great peace have those that love thy law. Nothing can make them stumble. That was from another verse.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And I normally don't say anything, but I spoke up and I said, whoa. I said, wait a minute. It said, nothing shall offend them.
That's right.
You know?
That's what it says.
That's a big difference. She said, oh, I even like that better.
I thought she was going to say she got offended.
Because if you love this book, it won't offend
them. That's right. Go ahead.
Do the so-called holy books of other religions, like the Quran, do they have different versions of that?
I don't know about that. I don't know if they do or not. I doubt it. They probably got all one Quran. And all of them go by one thing because the devil don't care about that. He's corrupt. He's tried to corrupt this. I tell you what we ought to do. We ought to thank God that somebody, they preserved this thing and the Lord got it to us. That's all. When you're dying, buddy, that's all you're going to have to hold on to. When you're dying. It may not mean that much to you tonight, young people, but one day when you're dying, that'll be all you'll have to hold on to. Thank God. Hallelujah. Good to be saved tonight, ain't it? All right, let's stand and be sure and shake hands. Don't forget to sign up tonight. Sister, going back to back, if you will. If you didn't get signed up for the Sweetheart Banquet. Who's supposed to clean the church this weekend? Anybody know? We need it cleaned before Friday night, if we can. If we can, before Friday night, if we can. God bless you. All right, everybody get signed up tonight. Pray for me. I'm scared. All right. I am. I ain't kidding you. I'm not lying. All right. Pray, Lord. Hey, let's get on them bus routes Saturday. Need plenty of help. And ask the Lord to give us a big day. All right. Let's bow our heads and be dismissed. Big Ray, why don't you dismiss us?